Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Go ahead, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Truly, he has set us an example. Okay, let's try it one more time. Neighbor. Was this thing called the Climatron. And it really reminded me, some parts of it, of being in South Louisiana. It was very, very, very humid and swampy and lots of interesting plants. And then we kept going through, it was with a friend, and we kept going through, and we ended up in this wonderful Italian patio. I mean, it was lovely. There were all kinds of plants growing. There was even a pomegranate. I've never seen a real live growing pomegranate, let alone taking the time to actually eat one. So needless to say, I took a stab at it the following day. And as I began to reflect on this week and Jesus' passion, it occurred to me that actually there's something quite deep going on here. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we find him in a place, a desert. We find Jesus being tempted. We find Jesus struggling. We find Jesus in a desert. And in a few days, or as this journey of ours continues in the Triduum, we find Jesus in a garden. So at the beginning of his ministry, he's in the desert. And at the end of his ministry, we find him in a garden. Gardens are beautiful places. Gardens are the place where lovers meet. Gardens are the place where we can sit and look up and see the stars. Gardens are the place where you see plants like pomegranates growing. You see, in Jungian psychology, the garden is all about love. So we find our Lord moving towards the garden. When we talk about the passion, usually when we hear that word, we think about love. Usually when we think about that word in the eyes of Christ, we think about his suffering. Those aren't really wrong, but I think they miss something. You see, the Latin root of the word passion is passio. Something's going on here. Jesus is in the garden, and he is in his passion. He is in passio. He is passive. Our Lord is teaching us something. Rather than acting out in anger at betrayal, rather than defending his son, rather than pretending that the pain wasn't there or that it didn't exist, our Lord was passive. Our Lord sat with the pain, so much so that he sweated. that's a lesson for us in our modern culture. You see, so often we numb that pain. So often we avoid that pain. So often we pretend it's not there, but our Lord shows us exactly how we ought to deal with pain and betrayal. He simply holds it. Our Lord also teaches us something really, really powerful. He shows us how to die. How to die with courage. How to die in faith. How to give our life and not give it with anger or bitterness. We find him alone. In the gospel readings, you hear about him being a stone's throw away from everyone. And there are times in our lives when we too are emotionally and spiritually a stone's throw from everybody. I have a friend who told me once about his visit to a man who was dying. And the man said, "I have everything I could want. There's somebody always holding my hand. I've seen all of my kids. I know that I am loved. And yet I feel a stone's throw away from everybody." And my friend asked, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because I'm dying and they're not. I'm dying and they're not." And the man chose, rather than to be bitter about that reality, he chose to live and love with abundance and with abandon, and not to try to numb it or explain it away, but simply to hold it. Beloved, the Master has truly set an example for us, an example of maturity, an example of how to suffer, an example of how to love in the face of betrayal. As we continue this journey to the cross, let's not avoid the pain. Let's see the pain. Let's feel the pain and choose to love. Sweat blood. But then we will actually be following the example of our beloved one. Be still.